Jeff Gordon joins us on Sports Byline, four-time NASCAR Sprint Cup champion, all who drove the number 24 Chevrolet for the Hendrick Motorsports team in 23 full-time NASCAR Sprint Cup Series seasons. He also stepped in as a substitute driver for Dale Earnhardt Jr. in the number 88 Hendrick Motorsports Chevrolet in select races during the 2016 season. And he also won the Daytona 500 three times. He is third on the all-time Cup wins list with 93 career victories, the most in NASCAR's modern era. And he's been named as one of the 50 greatest drivers ever in NASCAR racing. And he has a great book out that I want to recommend to everybody. It's called Jeff Gordon, His Dream, Drive, and Destiny. You heard me say an awful lot about your career. Have you ever sat back, thought about it, and just been kind of blown away by what you were able to accomplish, Jeff?
Well, that's what I loved about this project is no, seriously, I have not. Throughout my career, I've just always so in the moment or looking ahead. I've never reflecting back as much as I wanted to. And I always said, well, when that day comes when I stop driving full time, I hope that I can go back and relive these moments. And this book that, I worked with Joe Garner, we had that opportunity to relive so many great moments. And just really everything that happened throughout my career that led to good things, or molded me or affected me or impacted each decision or each moment in my life and career. And so it's been fantastic, and I'm very proud of what we've come put together as well.
One of the things I've learned in talking to athletes over the years is that the parental influence has really been a molding experience as well. And in your book, you talk a lot about your mom and dad, particularly about your mom, Carol. Tell me a little bit about how they were like in the early years of your life.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that to me is what I love the most. Actually, there's some stories in the book that even I didn't know about how my mom and my stepdad met and what influenced them to make the choices in their life to, put me in a race car or they tried to start, a small business and the challenges that they were going through, and then their commitment to, myself and my sister and our lives and building this life together. And obviously that led to me racing and was, pretty much the major influence on what this journey has been like.
I suppose one of the early changes in your life, because you say my influence has changed a lot when I was in junior high, and you had a friend by the name of Chris who your mom was not particularly pleased with, didn't she?
She sure wasn't. I think we all go through that. And I think, again, you're right about parents, and what they have to do to motivate their children or to keep them out of harm's way or change their direction in life. And I've been racing for a number of years and really had almost accomplished all that I could, racing quarter midgets and go-karts. And we were looking for that next step or what the direction in, my life was going to be. Am I going to go do another sport or something? Because there just wasn't a race car that we saw as the next level or next step. And I found myself, hanging out with the wrong crowds, getting into trouble and having too much idle time. My parents were working really hard. And luckily for me, they recognized that. And they said, we've got to keep Jeff engaged. Let's figure out how we get him in a race car, maybe sooner than what we were anticipating. And that ended up being a sprint car, which was kind of a crazy idea, when I was only 13 years old, but one of the best decisions that ever happened in my career.
I love the story that you tell in the book about when you were a young kid. You said, when my parents went to bed, I would sneak out of the bedroom window, and of course you'd hook up with Chris, and you guys drove down to San Francisco. Tell me about that garage that you went to. Too with your skateboards.
it's still one of the craziest things I think I've ever done in my life, to be able to and I don't condone this in any way, but I was just a teenage kid that trying to make the most out of some opportunities in life and got invited to go kind of a late night outing. He was 15, didn't even have a driver's license, but his parents or his mom had bought him a car, and he knew where the keys were when he turned 16. Well, he'd get a hold of that thing, before he was 16. we ended up taking, you know, about a 45-minute drive from Vallejo, where I live, to San Francisco, and we loved skateboarding at that time, and hopped the fence, went into this parking garage, and, you know, there's about four or five of us that had these races on skateboards all the way down this four or five level garage. And I mean, it was a lot of fun, but it was something that could have gotten me in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, you said, but I remember coming home and the lights were on, the front door was cracked open, and I thought, uh-oh, I'm in big trouble. How close did you come to going to military school?
You know, I mean, if you talk to my parents, they probably said, "Oh, we were bluffing and hoping we didn't have to call." He didn't call our bluff, but I thought it was going to happen. I mean, I got in a little bit of trouble a couple of times where I was out too late, getting in trouble and just doing things that, you know, I shouldn't have been doing and wasn't really doing what I should have been doing in school. And you know, they really had to get my attention. And so that was it. They said, pack your bags and, you know, we're taking you to military school. And I went in and started packing, and I actually got my bags packed and got to the front door. And then they had that conversation, let's sit down and talk about this. And luckily I didn't go to military school, but I definitely think it had an impact on, you know, I started recognizing, okay, you know, I need to change some things in my life. And again, at that same time, luckily, that sprint car came along at the perfect time. And from that point on, I was always just laser focused on driving those race cars and, you know, my career.
Jeff Gordon is with us. And again, I want you to check out the book, Jeff Gordon, His Dream, Drive, and Destiny. We're going to make it a selection of the month on the Sports Byline Book Corner. With success comes, of course, adulation and a number of other things. You got the opportunity to host Saturday Night Live. And for somebody with your background and easygoing nature, you said, I was overwhelmed. That was one of the most frightening experiences of my life because I had no direction, no idea what to expect. What was it like to you when you had a chance to look back on it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an actor, never pursued that. I was always pretty comfortable in front of a camera. But I just had no idea what all it entailed to do Saturday Night Live. I got invited to do it. And the first time I really just thought it was a joke. I was like, surely they don't really want me to do this. But then luckily I got a second chance at it and jumped at the opportunity when some friends of mine told me, no, you're doing it. And so, you know, to show up there and meet with the writers and the staff, and then they say, okay, here's a stack of scripts, you know, just go over them briefly, and then we'll meet you in you know, this room where all the cast and crew get together. I had no idea I was walking in there to actually read these scripts, and mine was the first line, sitting next to Lorne Michaels, and the first one, I had to howl like a wolf all my lines. And so you can imagine a race car driver who is not at all interested in Hollywood or the TV and film world, how that pretty much made my heart pound out of my chest.
One of the things that you also said that when I reflected back on it and read it and everything, I really was impressed by, you said it was a huge adrenaline rush, such a blast. But here's the line that caught me, Jeff. You realize you can't fail. And that was something that really was kind of a guidepost for you throughout your career, was it not? You can't fail?
Well, you know, I like taking risk. I think it's important in life and certainly in sports and in racing. You've got to take some risk, but you got to be as calculating with them as possible, know, you know, kind of when you step over the line, how to pull yourself back. And I think, you know, that was something that, yeah, it's been with me throughout my whole life and certainly in my career. And opportunities like Saturday Night Live was one of those moments where I pushed myself, I took some chances and risks, and I realized, and certainly it helped me with, you know, I think people saw how I was out of my element during that week that you're there rehearsing and going through everything. And I think they realize, oh man, he's pretty nervous, and this is not something he's comfortable with. But they've seen that before with hosts, and they really embrace it, and they say, listen, there's nothing you can do that's you know, if you do it wrong, it's actually funnier. So we want you to fail because then it's actually really fun and going to make a better show. So, you know, I pretty much took that not only into the live show that we did, But I took that and carried that with me away from that show and in my career and in my life, and realized that, you got to take chances and risk. And if you fail, it only makes you stronger and better, and actually makes you more real to the people around you.
Jeff Gordon has joined us, four-time NASCAR Sprint Cup champion who drove the number 24 Chevrolet for Hendrick Motorsports in 23 full-time NASCAR Sprint Cup Series seasons. We'll talk about that aspect of his life as we continue across the country and around the world on the American Forces Network and the Internet and Sirius Satellite Radio. We've got you on America's Sports Talk Show. Jeff Gordon has joined us here on Sports Byline USA. You know the story on him, but he has a wonderful book out. It's called Jeff Gordon, His Dream, His Drive, and Also Destiny. Jeff, I've asked other athletes, particularly, say, pitchers, do you remember the day or the particular game when you realized that you could play at that particular level, the major league level, or play in the National Football League or the NBA? Where was that moment for you when you realized you could compete at this level and you could be successful at it?
Ooh, I mean, in racing, that you go through these stages where you're in, a car that's lower power and built more for younger, ages. And so at that level, I won a lot of races and built my confidence up, but I still didn't think that I had what it took to go to the next level. Then I got to the next level, started having success. So that it was sort of that same path for me each step of the way. I was always nervous and anxious and not sure if I had what it took. But I guess when I finally got up to the NASCAR Cup level and I started competing against, these names like Mark Martin and Dale Earnhardt and Rusty Wallace, of names I'd seen for a long time, and I started racing side by side with them. And then I guess when I won my very first race in 1994 at Charlotte Motor Speedway, I realized right then, I can do this. I've got what it takes. And from that point on, I just had a tremendous amount of confidence in myself and my team. And I guess the rest is history from there.
I think you'll confirm this, but a friend of mine is Bobby Rahal, and he and I had a long talk because we both fly high-performance aircraft. And, of course, Bobby, with his glasses, I often wondered how he did it. And he said to me one time when I'm coming in for a landing, he said, my co-pilot goes, and I pull back. But I want to ask you this. He once said to me that when you're flying, he said, if the aircraft is going 300 miles an hour, you have to be thinking 301 miles an hour. Does that apply also to what you did in auto racing?
Of course, absolutely. And I think that's what separates the good drivers from the great drivers. I think it's what separates the general public from a race car driver is once you get comfortable at 200 miles per hour and taking a car through a corner at 180 miles per hour and putting it out there on the edge, you realize you're in control, that you know where the limits are and how to get there but not go over it. And each lap you make, you build confidence in yourself, confidence in the car. You start to get comfortable enough to where you believe that there's nobody better that can make this car go any faster, and that it becomes a real team sport. And you definitely, as everything slows down in your mind, you start to do extraordinary things behind the wheel.
What was the most challenging thing that you had to deal with during the course of your career? Because you have to deal with the public, you have to deal with sponsors, you have to deal with racing, have to deal with crew chiefs. What was the hardest one for you to get your hand and mind around?
Jimmy Johnson. everything was, going amazing throughout my career. Through 2001, won the championship. Of course, I had some personal things that happened with my divorce, but at that same time, Jimmy Johnson came along. We became good friends. He became a teammate. And I felt very confident that, we could give him great equipment and he could go on and be successful. But I felt confident enough in our 24 team that we would continue to dominate at Hendrick Motorsports as the lead team. But, he and Chad Knaus and that 48 team, proved us wrong. I mean, we had great years, but I tell you what, those guys, and they proved it again this past Sunday by winning their seventh championship. But they really, to me, took it to another level, which is what the 24 car did when they came along Hendrick Motorsports. So on one hand, I'm proud of it. But on the other hand, that was one of the biggest challenges was, handling the fact that, that they were better than us.
You mentioned about the personal challenges. You know how much focus is important in doing anything, and particularly at a high-speed sport like motor racing. And I'm just wondering how you dealt with the personal challenges that you had with the divorce and things that were going on. How were you able to eliminate those for the period of time when you were in the cockpit of the car?
Well, I think it first starts with having, you know, a great family and support system of friends and people that you can, you know, confide in and trust in. Rick Hendrick was a big part of that for me, and Linda Hendrick, you know, they were like a second family, still are, you know, to me. But, you know, reconnecting my parents, we kind of had a disconnect during the time I was married the first time, and you know, reconnecting with them allowed me, you know, to have some, you know, personal successes through a failure. And then, you know, on the racetrack, I don't know, that to me, that was one of the things that I always felt like I could flip that switch, start that engine, put the helmet on, put the belts on, and flip that switch, and there was nothing else on my mind other than driving that race car the best to my ability.
You know, I think about the Godfather movie. You go and retire after the 2015 season, move into the broadcast booth, and then you're pulled back out to replace Dale Earnhardt Jr. when he had his concussions problem. And that great line from the movie is, "Just about the time I thought I was out, they pulled me back in."
I've heard many people quote that to me, so now I know where it comes from. That's true. I mean, I did not see that coming or anticipate that. And, you know, you certainly never want to see one of your teammates and friends and such an important you know, personality in our sport have that kind of an issue. But Hendrick has been so good to me. Rick Hendrick, as I mentioned, is like family. And when he called and said, "Hey, could you fill in?" I didn't even think twice about it. Of course, I thought that was for maybe one or two races. I didn't know it was going to be seven or eight. But I was just having fun at the end at Martinsville, and then it came to an end. But I was happy to be able to support, contribute, and help in any way I could. And Alex Bowman has also done an excellent job. But we all are excited to get Dale Jr. back behind that wheel.
You know, I've talked to a lot of people and players, too. What was it like up in Green Bay, or what was it like at Michigan when you ran into that stadium and everything? Tell me a little bit over the years of racing, what it was like on race day and the whole feeling and atmosphere. Or were you just so focused in that you really couldn't take in what was happening around you?
You know, there's certain days, certain moments. Honestly, the one that stands out to me most was my final race at Homestead. Well, my final race, but that, you know, that day from start to finish was one of the most amazing experiences that I had ever had, where I was letting it sink in and taking, you know, whether it be what I was seeing on social media, what I was interacting one-on-one with the fans, or, you know, seeing my mom and my stepdad, you know, my wife, Ingrid, and kids. It just, to Rick Hendrick, all of them, it was just unbelievable. And I don't think I ever allowed myself to go there throughout my career, because I was just always thinking about the race, the first laps, the starts, you know, how are we going to either make the car better, or you know, what challenges were coming. And I just, so when you saw me at the racetrack, I was smiling and waving and high-fiving and signing autographs, taking pictures, but in my mind, I was in another place. And the only time I ever let go of that was in that final race at Homestead. And it was amazing. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I know this is a little bit unfair, but of all the races that you raced over your active career, is there one that kind of sticks out in your mind, Jeff?
Well, certainly the inaugural Brickyard 400. You know, as a kid growing up in California, I was a big fan of the Indianapolis 500. My heroes were Rick Mears and A.J. Foyt and Rutherford and Unser. And so when I moved to Indiana racing sprint cars, of course, you know, it's every sprint car driver's dream around, you know, the Indiana or Ohio in the Midwest to race at Indianapolis. So, you know, when that didn't happen, when I went to NASCAR, I was disappointed. I was excited about NASCAR, but boy, I really got excited when I found out that NASCAR was going to Indianapolis to race for the first time. So to be able to experience what that was like and to win that race, you know, that's just a memory to me that will last forever.
We got about 90 seconds left, but when you think back on your long career, what is it that you'd like people to remember about Jeff Gordon?
Well, and I think that's what I loved about this project in the book. I think, you know, I peel back some layers and open up to let people realize that, you know, your perception of what you maybe read or saw on TV, that there's a lot more to not just me, but to my story and how I got here and, you know, what sacrifices my parents made and so many others along the way. And that it wasn't always just easy and handed to me. There's a lot of challenges and hard work. And, you know, I think for me, the keys to success are being a great team player, being a great communicator, and working harder than anybody else out there. And it certainly paid off for me, and I think most people would say that that's key to success for in their lives as well.
What would you like people to take away from this book, Jeff?
You know, it's a fun read. Everybody I've talked to, you know, feels the same way that I do when I've gone through and edited the book and put it all, you know, all the chapters together. I just think that Joe Garner did an amazing job reaching out and touching so many different people in my life. And I think they're going to realize, just like if they watch me do Saturday Night Live, they realize Jeff's not afraid to take some chances and risk and show people another side of him. And I think this book really, truly does that about who I am as a person and how I feel about racing and, you know, what family and friends and this sport has meant to me over the years.
Jeff, I want to thank you for your kindness, your friendship, and, of course, we're heard overseas on the American Forces Network for your kindness to the soldiers as well. Take care, my friend. You're welcome back here anytime.
Well, thank you very much, Ron. Let's not make it this long the next time. Hope to be on soon. God bless America.
Thank you, Jeff. Jeff Gordon with us. Again, check out the book, His Dream, Drive, and Destiny. We continue on Sports Byline.